From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation or around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, those open lines. By the way, welcome to the Coast to Coast family, the ever-growing affiliates list. KCHH-FM, Billings, Montana. WCHV-FM in Charlottesville, West Virginia, WTVS-AM in Charleston, West Virginia. WPHR-AM in St. Pierce, Vero Beach, Florida. And WLKK-FM in the Buffalo, Niagara Falls market in New York. Thanks for joining us. Here's what's happening. The National Weather Service says one of the tornadoes that killed hundreds of people in the South had winds, get this, of 205 miles an hour and was the very first EF5 tornado in Mississippi since 1966. 300 people died in a series of tornadoes that hit several states. The historic next-to-last space shuttle launch has been scratched because of mechanical problems, dashing the hopes of the biggest crowd of spectators in years, including the mission commander's wounded wife, Representative Gabrielle Giffords. NASA hopes to try again Monday to launch the space shuttle Endeavour on its final voyage. Robert Zubin with us, How to Live on Mars, and a number of other great books, including he's a member of the Mars Society. He's with us now. Robert, so this is scrubbed, hopefully Monday, but what does it tell you about the space shuttle?
Well, space shuttle, they'll probably get it off Monday, or if not, then another day. And then this is the second-to-last shuttle flight. One more coming up, and that's it. Now, the Obama administration has stopped the ability of NASA to build a capsule that will take astronauts to the space station. There's a private company called SpaceX, which is building a capsule to go to the space station. But the Russians are saying, oh, we think it's probably unsafe. So you'll just all have to come to the space station in our capsule, and they're increasing the price for the seat.
Very sad situation. Really not a backup yet. Robert, if you were in charge of NASA right now, what would you do?
Well, first of all, I'd give NASA a goal. Right now, it's adrift. The goal should be humans to Mars. And then I think we can make it affordable by simply cutting fixed-price contracts for all the different things we need to go, such as the heavy lift booster, the capsule, the habitat craft, the rest. By the way, let me tell you something, George. You know my book, The Case for Mars?
Yes.
We're coming out with a new edition. The book, the original edition, was published 15 years ago. This June, we're publishing a new edition. It's going to be completely updated. With all the data that we got from the Mars rovers and the orbiters and everything, all the discoveries that have been made since 1996. That's coming out in June.
And what a great idea. That was to send a rocket to Mars so you could literally fuel from the planet for a return trip.
That's right. Live off the land. Travel light. That's the way to get the job done.
Robert's website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you get up any morning for the next few weeks, let's hope you do, you'll be treated to the sight of all the planets except Saturn arrayed along the elliptic, the path of the sun through the sky. For the last 2 months, almost all the planets have been hiding behind the sun, but this week, they all emerge and are arrayed in a grand line above the rising sun. Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter are visible, and then you can add Uranus and Neptune to your count if you have binoculars or a small telescope. Steve Cates, Dr. Sky with us. This has got to be a sight to be seen there, Stephen.
Absolutely, George, and I can think of no better night to pull an all-nighter for people who love the sky like all of us, and as you appropriately mentioned, what a dazzling sky show. So here's the details on this. Early morning, about a half hour before sunrise, look into the east. You'll get to see, hopefully with clear skies, a 7% illuminated moon, George, a beautiful silhouetted moon, where you can see the Earth shine and the thin crescent. Below it, as you mentioned, Venus, continue to arc toward the horizon as you're moving to the left, the planet Mercury, where, of course, the MESSENGER spacecraft is providing us a lot of new information on the innermost planet. And then, if you have a pair of binoculars, keep looking, because as you get toward the horizon, hopefully the sunlight will not interfere. You'll get to see Jupiter and Mars, but the planets Uranus and Neptune to the right of Venus, but that'll require probably a pair of binoculars. No doubt about it, but it's so exciting.
Now, is there going to be any potential problem because of any kind of gravitational pull because of this alignment on planet Earth?
We don't know for sure, George, but people like Dr. Griffin, who, of course, has written these phenomenal books about the planetary alignment, It's still one of those subjects that we keep an open mind about, but all facts coming here today to us say probably nothing that we know of directly that might happen because of this, but we know of so many changes going on the Earth. Well, we might as well keep our minds open about this one. And it's so interesting because when we were talking planets, George, getting to see all these objects, as you described, close to the sun, it's a rare sight. And the only great planet that's left, you mentioned Saturn, go out now. If you have a clear sky, look high up into the south. And, George, that's a phenomenal object, as you know, and everybody out there who's really taken a look at it. But if you have a telescope, try that. Look at Saturn and stay up for the morning. And check out DrSky.com. You'll find out a whole bunch of great stuff, talking about all the stuff that we're talking about, and always so much more.
Nothing more exciting, Stephen, than looking at the skies. One person is dead. At least 10 have been hospitalized in an outbreak of salmonella poisoning linked to clinical and teaching microbiology laboratories across the country. Already now, some 73 people in 35 states have been sickened by the bacteria since August, including some by a strain of salmonella sold commercially for use in laboratory settings, according to for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The ill includes students and employees of the laboratories, as well as children who live in households of people who study or work at labs. Strange story there. The Obama administration can continue using federal tax dollars to fund human embryonic stem cell research, according to a U.S. appeals court, overturning a judge's decision and handing a victory to the White House there. You know, when it comes to names, everybody's got an opinion. But while figuring out what names people like is pretty simple, the U.S. Social Security Administration keeps a list of the most popular baby names each year. Figuring out what people hate is even trickier. It turns out that in the case of names, love and hate aren't mutually exclusive. A new informal survey of the most disliked names in America finds that popularity often breeds backlash, as a quick track to baby name fame seems to also trigger hate for that same name. Among the most hated trendy names, Jaden, Braden, Madison, and Addison. There you have it. In a moment, we're going to be talking with a clairvoyant, Hollister Rand. Her work, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different. Kids in Spirit, teaching us about living a better life on Earth. Get ready for that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Hollister Rand is a clairvoyant, a medium, a regular contributor to InfiniteQuest.com. It's a popular website launched by celebrity mystic and psychic medium John Edward, dear friend of the program as well. Hollister's work, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different. We're going to talk with her about some incredible things tonight over the next couple hours. We're going to take your calls later, too, because I really want some of you who have had this kind of experience to join in on the conversation. Hollister, welcome to Coast.
George, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Are you? When I go back to L.A., you're pretty close to our neck of the woods, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'm here in Los Angeles.
How's the weather been out there?
Very, very warm. And, of course, my air conditioning broke, and I had to have it fixed today.
Oh, no. Well, I've been getting blasted here in the Midwest over the last couple of weeks, so I'm looking forward to coming back to L.A.
Well, we welcome you with open arms.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. We haven't had an opportunity ever to talk, so tell me about you.
Well, I'm a medium, as you said, and I am clairvoyant, which means I can see spirit. I'm clairaudient, which means I can hear them. Clairsentient, which means I feel them and get their personalities as well. I'm clairalliant and clairgustant as well, which means I can smell spirit and also taste some things that they might give me, like a secret recipe that the family has or something like that. And I've been a medium all of my life, although it wasn't really something I wanted to do. So I sort of ignored it as much as I could. And then when I could no longer pretend that the spirits weren't there, I finally decided, okay, I need to learn about this so I can serve people and let them know that they're loved by those who have passed on.
This gift, because it is a gift, has it been with you since you were a little child?
Yes, and many mediums will tell you that. When I was a child, the first person that I saw in spirit that I remember anyway was my grandfather, Pop-Pop. And he died, and he kept coming to me at night and stood at the foot of my bed, kissed me on my head, and everybody around me tried to explain to me that Pop-Pop was dead. And I was entirely confused by that because as far as I was concerned, he was still there.
Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing lately, because this work that's coming out, I'm different, about kids in spirit teaching us. I assume, because you're a clairvoyant, at some point there was not a difference between kid spirits, adult spirits coming to you, right?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, I never set out to write a book about children in spirit. The reason was that I thought that it would be very difficult. I have spoken to so many parents who have lost children, and it's a tremendous grief. And it's also a great responsibility on the part of the medium. Now, I consider myself an equal opportunity spirit communicator. So I talk to friends, I talk to parents, I talk to pets in spirit. But what started happening was more and more kids were showing up. And a friend of mine reminded me recently, she said, "Wow, I remember when that started to happen. You said to me, why are all these kids showing up? What's going on with this?" And I didn't have an answer at the time. Now I understand that their messages are so profound for anyone left behind that they are messages that really speak to all of us, anyone who has lost somebody.
Let's talk about the other side for a moment, Hollister. Give me your thoughts on what you think it is.
Well, first of all, I don't think it's an it. One of the kids said to me that heaven is a state of mind. And I love that. I thought, you know, one of the ways I know that I'm hearing from kids in spirit or I'm hearing from a spirit is that they say things that I couldn't come up with myself.
Right.
And, you know, brilliant things. I thought, wow, heaven is a state of mind. And what I've been shown by many spirits is that heaven is beyond anything that we can really imagine here with our sort of finite minds. So when I've seen visions, the colors are so much brighter. I've had spirits talk to me about golden buildings that soar up into the sky, gardens that never need weeding, you know, all of this kind of thing. It sounds so idyllic. And I work at a very specific vibration. I work at the love vibration, and I kind of call myself MapQuest to the other side. So, you know, I really don't go to the bad neighborhoods, and I take my clients only to the better neighborhoods.
Well, since you brought up the bad neighborhoods, have some of those on the other side talk to you about that?
Yes, and actually, when I started being involved with spirit work in a very serious way, when I finally decided to dedicate my life to this, I did go to some haunted houses, haunted places, and I had a very stunning memory when I was a child. At around 10, I went to Gettysburg, and my mother really wanted us to experience the Civil War and all of that, but little did she know that I was really experiencing the Civil War, so much so I had to be carried from the battlefield. And so energy can be very, very intense or very dense in some places, and also some spirits, as one kid said to me, dying doesn't make you nice. So there are some dead people who just suddenly don't die and become saints.
Let's talk a little bit about something that I've always wondered about. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you can help a lot of people who are listening to this program right now. If somebody goes to sleep and they die in their sleep, in your opinion, based on your experience, based on your clairvoyancy of, you know, spirits on the other side, kind of take us through those steps. When they die in their sleep, what happens?
Well, I've actually had people who have reported to me that they dreamt their way to the afterlife. That's what they said. It was like a dream. I went to sleep and I dreamed. And in many instances, the very vivid dreams that we have here ourselves and we wake up, some of those dreams can be visitations from spirit. And if they're very intense colors or, you know, it looks almost like an otherworldly place, we can even be experiencing that ourselves. So people who die in their sleep, so many spirits have said to me, that's the way I wanted to go. In some ways, it was a choice of theirs. It's a very, very lovely and easy way to pass. No struggle.
Interesting. You know, I've always believed that that's a possibility, that death is merely like a dream state, and you go on and on. And I'm sure in many cases it's not. you know, especially if you can get to the light and things like that. But I've always thought that too, that, you know, dying is much like dreaming.
Well, and that's often the spirits I've spoken with do sort of describe it that way. And maybe it's because that's how we can understand it.
Well, maybe so. Maybe they're trying to make it easy on us, huh?
Yeah. And what I find very interesting is that people who determine, I want to die in my sleep, it seems like a very easy, blessed sleep. And they're all, and I've spoken with numerous spirits who have told all of their families, you know, the last 5 years ago, I just want to die in my sleep. I just want to die in my sleep. And they do.
Well, isn't going to sleep almost like dying in that, I don't know how many of us remember the moment we were awake before we fall asleep. I can't, Hollister.
Right.
You know, when I go to sleep, I don't remember that little moment where I just passed off and went to sleep. And in between, if you don't remember your dreams for 8 hours or however long you sleep, there's nothing there for you.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because there's something that has also happened in my life, which is similar to that. I was in a very, very serious car accident, and the trauma of that accident really affected me. When I woke up in the hospital, I thought I was dead because I had a sheet over my face. I talk about this in the book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different. And I thought I was dead. I was like, oh, so this is what it's like to be dead. I mean, that was my first thought. And then I was hearing beeping, and then eventually someone came, pulled the sheet off my head and said, you know, welcome back. Now, I can't tell you in those moments when I was not there, I have no memory of the accident and the aftermath, but I know that I was changed by the experience. And so I think that even people who do not dream or have recollections of the dream, that doesn't mean that they haven't had an experience and that they haven't been changed or they haven't communicated with spirits and they haven't gone someplace. For whatever reason, we may be protected from remembering all the little details.
Hollister, do some of these spirits ever talk about going through different layers, like dimensions, to get to that heavenly state?
Yes and no. When I'm giving messages to people who hope to speak with their loved ones, it's very often very specific messages, you know, names, birthdays, things like that, reestablishing relationships. And so not many of the people who come to see me are interested in the esoteric kinds of things that you and I are like, ooh, we really want to know exactly. I'm so curious. I want to know everything. So very often the spirits that I'm talking with on a day-to-day basis do not discuss those things for obvious reasons. However, when I sit in development circles with other mediums, when I go into trance states and things like that, I have been shown different layers, different colors. Some very interesting things have been shown to me. There was one instance when I was shown all of these spirits in like a blue color, like an electric blue color, and they were all spirits that looked like they were from the Civil War. And I heard a sound with that. And then all of a sudden, the spirits changed, the color changed, and I had a bunch of Roman soldiers in the room. And the tone had changed. And I said, what on earth am I being shown? And I recognized later, as Spirit was showing me, that there it's almost like sound and light are like latitude and longitude on a heavenly map.
What are the children spirits generally describe heaven as?
Sometimes they will describe it as something their parents would understand. So they will talk about other people that they have met there. So family. Say a child was named after a grandfather who passed before that child was born. Very often, the child will come to see me with the grandfather. So you'll have two Adams in spirit, let's say, the grandfather and the grandson together. So one of the things the kids always talk about is our relationships and getting to know the family that they may not have known when they were here on the earth plane.
All right. In your book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different, when does it come out?
It's out.
It's out now.
For about a week.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And so people can go to my website, hollisterrand.com, and find out more information. It's also on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available for Nook, Kindle, all of that stuff.
We'll get deep into heaven when we come right back with you, Hollister, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, at the end of the program tonight, we're going to give UFO Phil a little break this week. He's only been singing the song that he sings for us for the last several years. I'm going to play a song supplied by a group called Minutes out of Brooklyn, New York. Lex had them highlighted earlier this week. Their song is called Coast to Coast, You Make Me Smile. And we're going to play that at the end of the program tonight. And we'll also have some open lines later on tonight. Next hour, we'll take questions with Hollister Rand as we talk about the other side. And I've got some more to talk with her about when I come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. In catechism class during my earlier days, they would teach us about heaven, hell, and purgatory, which is much like limbo. Do people get stuck, spirits get stuck in that middle world, Hollister?
Well, the good news is you don't need a GPS to find your way to heaven. And the reason why is because friends, relatives, people that you know and people that you'll recognize as being, you know, related to you in some way will come and get you. However, there are people, for whatever reason, don't accept that they're dead or are holding on to, you know, some very difficult emotions. And in that way, they themselves may refuse to move forward. And that's sort of what I call limbo. But, you know, there's always an opportunity for change and growth, even on the other side. So even those spirits who are in this area of limbo, quote limbo, I've sat in rescue circles with other mediums where we have helped those spirits move forward. So there's always hope.
Hollister, I believe in the angelic realm. I think these are beings that are part of this universe. They're as alive as we are, maybe just on a different plane. Do any of the spirits that you've communicated with talk about angels?
Oh, absolutely.
They do.
Yes. Often what happens is as people are passing, their family members may say things like, please have the angels take this one. Or, you know, they pray for angels. They pray to angels. This kind of thing. I've had numerous spirits say, I flew with angels. And so it's very, very powerful.
I flew with angels. That's
yeah, I'm getting chills even as I say that, even as I'm sitting here.
And it's not just the kids' spirits, right?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. As I said, I'm an equal opportunity spirit communicator. So I don't just speak with children. And I have to say that the reports are really across the board.
I've got to tell you, there's a special feeling in my heart whenever I come across ghost stories or EVPs, you know, electronic voice phenomenon, of children. There's something very different about that. And I bet this has happened to you too.
Well, it's very different communicating with children in spirit. And it was something that I had to learn. One of the things is that I have very specific ways that I communicate with the spirits. I ask, you know, father side to stand on one side of me, mother side. You know, I sort of set up these rules for communication so that I sort of know what I'm doing and what to expect. The kids, first of all, never pay attention to any of my rules. So it's always a bit of a free-for-all when I deal with them. And so one of the things I think they're showing me is the idea of flexibility, of dealing with things as they come. Kids in spirit have a lot to teach us, and working with them on the other side is completely different. Well, not completely different, but very different from dealing with other spirits.
You just said you don't need a GPS to get to heaven. But what if an individual, while alive, on this planet, is despicable,
mm-hmm.
is a murderer,
mm-hmm.
is whatever you want to call a bad person, that's what they are.
Right.
Do they get to heaven?
I look at it this way, and this is what the spirits have shown me as well. Birds of a feather flock together no more than on the other side. I mean, that's really what the whole deal is. So as your vibration is here on Earth, your thoughts, your actions, your deeds, you know, everything, the sum of your life as it has been expressed here, places you at a vibrational level with others of like mind, thoughts, deeds, all of that. So when you think about all the mass murderers sitting together in a room, I mean, that's a room I don't want to be in. And if you want to, like, hang a little poster over that saying, this is hell, go to it.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Let's talk about your work. I'm Not Dead, I'm Different. Tell me about that title.
Well, I wish that I could claim that title. As always, some of the most clever things are said to me by kids in spirit. And I had a family come to see me. It was a father and a mother and a sister and a brother. And a young man came through, and he really established who he was, expressed his love for the entire family. But in the middle of it, his father just started to cry and put his head in his hands and said, he's dead and gone. He's dead and gone. And the grief and the torment in this man's voice was unbelievable to hear. But without a second passing, this young man, it was like he was almost shouting in my ear, but I sort of heard it in my head as a thought. He said, I'm not dead and gone. I'm different. And I thought, wow, if I ever write a book, I'd like to use that as the title.
How do you handle situations with parents who've lost a young one? There's nothing more tragic than that. Do you comfort them? Do you tell them what's going on? How do you react with them?
Well, the first thing is that I establish a connection with the spirits. The kids don't let us sit in our grief, and not just kids, but all spirits that I work with. They're really looking to reconnect, to state that they are not dead, that a relationship may be different, and the way we can relate to each other has to be different because it's no longer in a physical sense. But that they are very much alive. So their message of hope, I had one father say to me, how can you do this every day? How can you do this day in and day out? And I said, because I live in hope. I'm living with kids and with spirits who see themselves as very much alive, and they come with so much love that when you sit in that place of love with them, it's absolutely life-changing for the medium as well as for those who have been left behind.
I remember a story of a little girl who would tell her parents quite regularly that she had a playmate. And they thought it was one of those little childhood things, right, as so many parents do. But this little child started telling them some very weird things, Hollister. She started saying that my friend told me that she was killed here.
Right.
And on and on and on. And to the point where the little girl kind of pinpointed where she was killed, that her bones might be here.
Right.
The parents thought, this has gotten a little weird. They called the police. They investigated. They tore up the floor. And sure enough, they found the bones of a little baby or a younger girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is eerie to me.
Well, I look at it a little differently. I don't say it's eerie at all. I really feel that, number one, kids, all kids, are very attuned to spirits. So it's only till we decide, oh, maybe I shouldn't see spirits, that people begin to shut down. But kids are very in tune, and so are animals. So it doesn't surprise me at all that this happened. And secondly, the sense was this little girl wasn't saying, you have to find me, you have to solve my murder, you have to do all this. No, she came in friendship to this other little girl. It's like, ooh, I recognize you. We're like the same. I have a playmate. And so I've discovered, I wrote about this in my book in a chapter called Peer Pressure. What I've discovered is that kids in spirit align themselves with kids here on earth. And even those that they did not know, that they may have only known in school or sort of tangentially in some way, they group together and they sort of live their lives together.
The child who has died, do they ever regret passing on? Do you ever get that kind of feedback?
I have never had, and I hate to use the word never, because as soon as I use the word never, you know, there's an exception to everything. But in almost all cases, the spirits who come to me do not express regret. They often get exactly what they need out of the incarnation, no matter how short it may be. Now, in the case of suicide and things like that, I have had, when people pass, they get a sense of the effects that their choices have made on people around them. And so they really get to see how their choice around dying has affected people. So in that sense, there's the idea of, oh, look what I did and how it has affected other people. But rarely do I have anybody say, I'm a victim of this or I'm a victim of that.
Do they want to come back?
Almost always they say to me, I am waiting for you, meaning they're waiting for the mother or they're waiting for the father. So I don't get the sense. They never, well, once again, there's that word never. They tend not to say, I'm coming back or I'm coming back right away.
Do they talk about, or do you know anything about the reincarnation of these spirits?
Yes, I do. And once again, this is not necessarily from the spirits that I'm talking with, other than for their saying to those they love, I will wait for you. Because one of the greatest fears I've discovered that people have when they come to see me is, what happens if the person I love reincarnates and then I get to, you know, to the other side and they're not there? And that doesn't seem to be the rule of thumb. It really, the spirits have indicated to me that we tend to come in groups, we tend to wait for people, we tend, you know, to reconnect on the other side and then determine what the next life is going to look like.
What if you found, Hollister, to be the most astounding thing about the other side?
Oh, I don't even know where to begin with that. I would say the most astounding thing to me is that there seems to be no end of it. It's almost like there are no boundaries to heaven. I remember there was a spirit who said he was walking, he was trying to walk the perimeter of heaven, and he couldn't find the end of it. And his daughter laughed because she said he used to walk the property line every night. So this was a man who was used to sort of staking out ground. So what the most astounding thing for me is that there's the idea of limitlessness, and there's so much that we don't know.
Too much we don't know.
Too much we don't know. And so that's why I'm asking the questions all the time. That's why, I mean, I'm really like the inquirer to the other side. I want to know.
What state of mind do you have to get in to begin this communication link?
I do meditation. The good news is, after so many years of doing this, I've developed almost a clap-on, clap-off kind of way to function, because I have to function in my own life. And in order to do that, I have to say, okay, now's the time I'm going to do the work. Now's the time I'm going to go shopping, you know, grocery shopping, so that I'm not seeing spirits over by the watermelons and things like that. So I've set very, very clear rules on when and how I do the communicating. And so I will sit very quietly, meditate, and open with a prayer of blessing before I give a session.
Now, when one dies and moves on, are they given assignments? Do they have any responsibilities? Or do they just kind of like hang around?
Well, people say the dead rest in peace, or may he rest in peace. Well, the dead have peace, but they're not resting in it, George. There is a lot of activity that goes on. And what I find is that creative people on this side, when they've passed, help other creative people. So writers help writers. Songwriters help songwriters. Musicians help musicians. It's really interesting. It's almost as though the work continues in some way, and it's a cooperative effort between this side and the other side. Now, also, if somebody here on this earth plane has caused difficulty within a family, or say there have been drinking problems and things like that, or some levels of addiction, they may very well work with the family to help begin to change that energy in the family so that future generations don't live within that legacy.
Why do we get hauntings? Why do we get poltergeist stories? Why do these things happen?
Well, there are different reasons for it. There are some people who really don't understand that they've passed, or they become very attached to a person, a place, or a thing. And we see people here, you know, I've had people here in this life who say, you know what, I'm never leaving this house. They're going to have to carry me out in a pine box. Well, they're setting the intention that they will never leave. And so these vows and these commitments that we make when we're here on the earth plane often stay in existence until we decide to change them. So as people, we have to be concerned about what we say. I will never do this, or I will always do this, because you can attach yourself to the earth in such a way that it can be difficult for you to move on.
Past Coast to Coast guest Hans Christian King would talk about spirit guides.
Yes.
Do we all have that spirit guide with us?
Absolutely. And I contend that we have more than one. Sometimes people like to think that their loved ones are their spirit guides. And the interesting thing that I have found with babies in spirit, those who passed before they even maybe even walked here on the earth plane, will sometimes come as joy guides to their parents, really teaching them about joy and love and remaining with the family, even though they had very, very short lives here. Then we also have guides who will help us sort of navigate our journey, our purpose in life. So there are different guides for different purposes, and they can change also. So I have guides that work with me doing the work. And then when I train other people to do what I do, sometimes these guides will go and help that person who has just learned how to connect with spirit.
Is your guide the guardian angel, or is that separate?
I really think that that is separate. We tend to lump it together. But I do think the spirit guide is someone who really tries to, who's always there helping you to move forward in your life's purpose. And the guardian angel, the idea of that is someone who protects us and prevents, quote, bad things from happening to us. But the truth of the matter is sometimes the worst things that happen can bring about the greatest spiritual growth.
Well, maybe so. Is it something you look forward to one day? I mean, are you afraid of the other side?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm going to the other side with a legal pad of questions because, yeah, I really want to know it all. I want to understand everything. And so, yeah, I'm really ready to know and understand. And for right now, I'm hoping that the glimpses that I get will increase more and more so that I can give even a better understanding to people as to what the other side is like.
Hollister, what is it? Who is it that wakes us up from a burning fire in the wee mornings when we're asleep? What is it that warns us about don't go into traffic, you could get hit by a car and we get saved? Is it the guardian angel? Is it the spirit? Is it our own intuition? What is it?
I think it's a combination. And what I've discovered in my own life is that my own psychic intuition can be used by spirit to, you know, to avert certain things. Now, I've had several instances where I could have passed in this life, and yet I did not. And my feeling is my journey is not completed. However, each of those near misses has given me the understanding that I am guided, I am loved, and even in that situation, I was not alone. And sometimes that's just enough.
What has the knowledge of the other side done for your own personal life on this planet?
It has allowed me to live without fear. When I first moved to Los Angeles, over 20 years ago, I was driving along and I saw a bumper sticker and it said something like no fear. And I thought, that's how I want to live. What I didn't know was it would take talking to dead people to understand how to live.
And doesn't it also make you more enlightened? It just makes things, it makes you happier.
Oh, absolutely. I get up in the morning, I can't wait to do what I do. Because that spirit energy and the understanding of the larger purposes in life, that really keeps me going because nothing is ever what it seems, just what it seems.
Well,
There's always a lot more going on.
You know, I see these 300 poor people who have died in tornadoes over the past couple days.
Yes.
And I'm sure when they all woke up in the morning, probably none of them thought, I'm going to die today in a tornado. And I guess that's why you got to really live each day as if it is your last. because it does make a difference. Stay with us, Hollister. Hollister Rand, her book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different. We're going to open up the phone lines with her before we get to open lines for you to share some of your stories about what we've been talking to right here on Coast to Coast AM.